This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Assuming he can't figure out how to get out of it. But what we want to do is to replenish the Social Security Trust Fund.
Do you condemn any interference by Russia in the American election?
I don't know Putin. He said nice things about me. If we got along well, that would be good.
Well, that's because he'd rather have a puppet as president of
no
the United
puppet,
States.
No puppet.
And it's pretty clear.
You're the puppet.
It's pretty.
But we have some bad hombres here, and we're going to get them out. Excuse me. My turn.
Why would so many different women from so many different circumstances over so many different years, why would they all make up these stories?
Those stories have been largely debunked. I have a feeling how they came. I believe it was her campaign that did it.
What was his response? Well, he held a number of big rallies where he said that he could not possibly have done those things to those women because they were not attractive enough.
She should not be allowed to run. And just in that respect, I say it's rigged.
But, sir, there is a tradition in this country. In fact, one of the prides of this country is the peaceful transition of power. Are you saying you're not prepared now to commit to that principle?
What I'm saying is that I will tell you at the time. I'll keep you in suspense.
You're not up to doing the job. He's talking down our democracy. And I, for one, am appalled.
Lots of luck, Hillary. Thanks a lot for doing a great job.
Woo. Well, do you think after it's all said and over, said and done, that she's going to have him over at the White House for tea and crumpets? Wow. I mean, even the statement, I mean, it was just like he had his fill with her. I think if he could have reached over and kind of given her a noogie, he probably would have done it. Because, you know, when he said that, he said, what a nasty woman, you know, that he threw that in there. And I thought, wow, you know, I mean, he's just like.
Every time somebody asked her a question, she would immediately turn it into some sort of attack on Donald.
Right.
And he finally he was like, what a nasty woman. Why do you do this? Well, I mean, just answer the question.
Right.
He didn't shy away from the Putin thing. He said, you know, I don't know him. Mm-hmm. So he said, yes, I condemn them. Mm-hmm. I condemn any outside, you know, nation, you know, tampering with our elections. But I don't know him, so I'm not.
Yeah, but he missed out on the opportunity about her taking money from Saudi Arabia and Qatar and going to the Clinton Foundation.
Oh, yeah.
Now, what impact on the election does that have?
Definitely, and he missed out. There's a couple of things that I feel he missed out on. They started this whole thing that the WikiLeaks have been tampered with. Mm-hmm. You know, some of those emails might have been doctored. Well, it's really easy. It's a real easy fix.
Mm-hmm.
Release them.
Right.
Release
them. Either release or you know, or they're not even refuting them. What they're doing is they're blaming Putin, and then, you know, even as Donald Trump said, and I think it might be a fair statement, is they're claiming it's the Russians, but they don't know.
Yeah.
They really don't know, because when you're talking about cyberspace, it could be anybody. I mean, it could be Chinese. I mean, it could be some little pimple-faced kid in New Jersey just having fun.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Definitely. And here's the biggest issue is that if we go back to the way that things were in the Cold War, that's not good for anybody. You can't just have somebody. They're basically doing exactly what McCarthy did.
Yeah.
Well, they're Russian. They're Russian spies.
That's what it's leading to. It really is. And I think that's also part of it, is that they're fearful that we're going to go back and embrace a McCarthy era. But there are some times when reasonableness needs to reign, and you got to be able to call it for what it is. But in this age of political correctness, you really can't, not to mention the fact that the mainstream media is missing in action, and they're not doing their job to do the research that needs to be done, whether it's Hillary's emails whether it's the stuff from John Podesta and on and on and on. I think that's why Ed Klein's book is so needed for a time such as this, because it really does help us understand what the heck is going on.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop.
Hey, sometimes, as my buddy would say, you got to stop yourself before you wreck yourself. But, hey, it's the political season, so we're just going head on. Why not? You know, at Mach 5 speeds. And, you know, if we bump into a wall or two or some other people, then, you know, so be it. Welcome back, America. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. Roshini Rajkumar is with us, communications consultant who works with business and sports executives, including the Minnesota Vikings. She is an attorney. And she is the one that companies call to coach executives so they don't make mistakes in today's 24/7 news cycle. Roshini, always good to have you with us. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thanks so much for having me on. It's always fun to talk with you about these,
well, I got to tell you, it's right in your wheelhouse right now. I mean, this is, you know, this is a perfect study for you in terms of crisis management, you know, in this political cycle. And you've got these two candidates that just, you know, the hole is there and they just keep digging.
Right. They're basically daily crises waiting to happen. And they do happen. There were a lot of interesting points from last night. What struck you? Where do you want to start?
Well, yeah, that's the deal. There is a plethora. I mean, we can just pull on one string after another. But the contention, I mean, it was so thick. I mean, again, no handshake. I mean, it gets to the point where Donald is so upset. I mean, you could tell that, you know, he had had enough of Hillary Clinton, and he finally just, he just calls her a nasty woman. And then they ask that, you know, I don't know what it is with Fox. They keep asking this question over and over again. You know, do you raise your right hand? You want to swear to that you're going to support, the ultimate decision of the people? And that question came up. I mean, it was asked at the last, at the last debate, and they bring that up again. And of course, Donald, this time, I don't know why he didn't say, look, I answered it last week. Why do I need to answer that again? But
you know,
he sets himself up.
Should have said, yeah, I wonder if it came up again because he has made more headlines, probably more than prior to the second debate, about a rigged election. Also ticking off secretaries of state around the country, many of whom are Republican, who are saying, look, our states aren't, they don't rig elections. They need honest and fair elections. So maybe Chris Wallace felt like he had to button that up, and that's why he asked that. But this was the line that everyone's been buzzing about since last night. So it was the big headline that really overshadowed some of the very good answers he did have. And then he also had a mess of answers, too. But this one has really overshadowed anything about the debate.
Well, and that's what he does. I mean, with Donald Trump, he's so headline-oriented. He goes for the headline, regardless. I mean, because that's his nature. He's a reality show guy. He's built his brand on the headline, and that's what he does. But sometimes, I mean, this is where he needs your help to understand that you don't want just any headline. You want a good headline, right?
Yeah, and he's built his brand really on trademarking his one-liners, like, you're fired,
right?
He trademarked that. I mean, that, talk about genius. I don't know how you trademark that line. He certainly did not coin it.
Right.
So the bottom line is, you're absolutely right. He is a master at trying to manipulate the media, but things have been catching up with him. So for him to end the debate or near the end of the debate saying the media, I quoted it, media is so honest and so dishonest and corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking, wow, the media helps you get to where you are. So he is one of these studies in conflicting reports
mm-hmm.
and mixed up facts and paradox. But at the end of the day, that line about really giving us a question mark, whether he would be part of a peaceful transfer of power, that leaves a lot of us uneasy. And I would guess even some of his supporters would be uneasy about that.
Yeah, I think so. And especially, you know, for you, Rashini, I mean, you're an attorney. Attorneys are buttoned down. You want to make sure the I's are dotted, T's are crossed. And so much of Donald Trump is in the hyperbole. It's in those big headlines, and that gets him in trouble. I mean, it's okay if you want to come with a big headline, but you better have something of substance to back up what you're saying, right?
You have to back it up. And, you know, at the end of the day, we are supposed to be a country of laws also. It's what makes so many people want to be in the United States. You know, we're not perfect, but we are a democracy. We can state our minds. The very fact that there can be so many differences of opinion about these two candidates is a testament to our country, and that we have the freedom to say what we want, believe what we want, and not worry about being shot because of it, right, on a day-to-day basis. But when you are going to say the hyperbole, it better absolutely be accurate and be backed by facts.
Exactly.
I've been really studying a lot of the fact checkers from last night into the morning, and it's fascinating to see more Donald Trump than Hillary, but there were some lines from Hillary that also didn't hold up to the fact checkers, but more lines from Donald Trump. Why does he even go there?
I mean, exactly.
I would never say anything. I would never counsel a client to say anything in a press conference or a debate that hadn't been double and triple checked for factual accuracy.
Well, you know, maybe after it's all said and done, people say, well, he's a genius. You know, he's got his finger on the pulse of the groundswell of America in much the same way at Brexit. I mean, people thought there was no way England was going to move away from the European Union. It was fixed. Yeah, we're going through this exercise, but it's not going to happen. But they just did not understand this groundswell. And maybe that, you know, where Donald Trump may be a genius after the fact is that he's holding to people's irritation and frustration with politics as usual, which Hillary Clinton represents. I mean, with all the scandals and the greed and, you know, the things that government aren't supposed to do. And, you know, Loretta Lynch and Bill Clinton. And I mean, it's on and on. Maybe they're so frustrated that they just don't want to care. They don't care anymore. They just maybe they're going to come out in droves, and people are going to sit there and they're going to analyze this for the next two decades to go, oh, is this what politics has reduced itself to? And can we survive, you know, either one of the presidencies of Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump for that matter right now? And I think that's the big question that America has after three debates with these two.
Yeah, Bill, it's so true. The thing that is so correct is that so much of our country, it, you know, really feels bushwhacked. You know, it's
right.
Like, whoa, I mean, nobody gets us. Okay, so that is the thing that is very true. So if Donald Trump were to win, it will be partly because of that sentiment.
Mm-hmm.
But no candidate has really capitalized on finding a productive way to channel that angst that much of the country is feeling. And
right.
Look, it doesn't even have to be people who are, you know, in the $25,000 salary bracket. It's many of us in middle America who are just trying to get by, right? Many people, if they heard positive, you know, some sort of map, a real mm-hmm. roadmap from either of these candidates that made sense, that didn't include factual inaccuracies, and actually didn't look like it was going to squeeze people even more, I think that candidate, whoever gave that roadmap, would be the one who would win. The challenge we have today is the hyperbole and headlines have really driven the candidacy of Donald Trump. And if he does win, it's questionable whether he really has a game plan for us for the next 4 years.
Well, it's also going to be questionable either way. Can they unite this country? We're
right.
So much the ununited states of America these days, it's not even funny. And we were having this conversation with a couple of guests earlier, and that has to do with leadership, that we're so anemic of leadership that can be that bridge between the disparate ideas and be able to unify and bring us together. And like you, Rashini, I'm not convinced either one of them are capable of doing that.
Yeah, it's a big problem, the whole unity piece.
Without a doubt. Rashini Rajkumar has been with us as always. Thank you so much for coming on, Rashini. Appreciate it. It's 15 minutes after.
Diabetes is at war with your circulatory system. Fight back with Cardivite. Cardivite is a dietary supplement containing powerful herbs for circulation and healthy cardiac function. Improve your energy, stamina, and mental acuity. Reduce swelling, cold hands, and risk of amputation. Get your blood flowing with Cardivite. This 5-star rated product was developed by a diabetic pharmacist and is available online at www.getbloodflowing.com. That's www.getbloodflowing.com.
This is a life-changing message for anyone with sleep apnea who is on the go and tired of dragging around a big, bulky home CPAP device. Now there's finally a portable device that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. You can even add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. It's the Transcend Mini CPAP, and if you're one of the first 100 callers, you can try Transcend risk-free for 10 days. So call now, 1-800-441-0335. Transcend is the world's first portable mini CPAP device. It gives you the freedom to sleep in total comfort anywhere you are. Our smallest and most advanced portable design ever, Transcend is so small and so light, you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. To guarantee your 10-day in-home trial, you must be one of the first 100 callers to call minicpap.com now. 1-800-441-0335. Again, that's 1-800-441-0335.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
ProPure Water Filters, making water great again. Taste and feel the difference with state-of-the-art filter technology. Pro 1 G2.0 and Pro Max filters are independent lab-tested to NSF standards. Choose from gravity, countertop, pitcher, shower, and inline filtration products. There's a ProPure for you. Buy risk-free today. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Martinez here with you. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. That's where you want to go. Our next guest is one that I've been looking forward to for a number of weeks. He has written the book, The Man Who Knew, The Life and Times of Alan Greenspan. Sebastian Malaby is with us. Sebastian, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Great. Nice to be with you, Bill.
Hey, wow. What an opportunity for you to spend this kind of time with Alan Greenspan. What an iconic figure when it comes to finance, the Fed, everything economical, that especially now when we consider what we're dealing with right in a current economic environment. How did this come about for you to be able to get together with Alan Greenspan and to write this definitive book?
Well, I certainly understand, you know, your aura around that. I mean, Alan Greenspan, clearly the most influential statesman of the post-war era. I mean, just because he was at the Fed, most powerful economist in the world for almost two decades. What happened was that after the 2008 financial crisis, Greenspan wrote a paper on what happened in the crisis. And in that long academic paper, he actually quoted my last book, which is A History of Hedge Funds. And so I knew from that he kind of respected my writing, and I approached him and said, you know, that I would like to write the definitive biography of his life. And he agreed to that after thinking about it a bit. He spent more than 70 hours recording conversations with me, and so I had full insight into his thinking, and it was really a great experience for me.
I mean, to be able to have a conversation with him, I mean, it's, you know, he grew up as this, you know, math genius, right? I mean, he was this wunderkind, just his ability to deal with math figures, and he was just gifted to do this, wasn't he?
He was gifted. You know, his mom, when Alan Greenspan was around, you know, 8 or 9 years old, he would be wheeled out in front of the relatives, and the game was to give him, you know, complex addition, and he would just do it right there in his head and amaze all the relatives. He was also gifted in other ways, actually, interestingly. He was a professional jazz musician.
Exactly right. You know.
When he was young, he was quite a dancer, according to his former girlfriends who I interviewed. You know, he was single between the age of 27 and 71, so he had plenty of time to date different people. He, you know, we think of this figure in dark suits when he was the central bank chief, but he was also the guy who bought, you know, the Buick Electra 225 convertible car in 1959 with fantastic tail fins and red leather seats. So he's an interesting character.
That was his car, wasn't it?
Right.
That car really, really said a lot about the man and the myth and the legend right there.
Exactly. And it wasn't the only one. He bought a whole series of fantastic convertibles through the 50s and 60s.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go back in terms of the raw philosophy of Alan Greenspan and the economy. I mean, he says, I guess I should warn you, if I turn out to be particularly clear, you probably misunderstood what I said, right?
He was funny. You know, he would kid people that, you know, he couldn't possibly be understood. If you thought you understood him, you got it wrong. Mm. His philosophy, though, is really interesting because, you know, in his late 20s, he met Ayn Rand, the libertarian novelist who wrote At the Shrugged and Fountainhead. And he became really close friends with her. And in fact, in At the Shrugged, one of her great books, the bits which are about the economy were kind of checked over and edited by Alan Greenspan.
Exactly.
So he had this close relationship with her. And when he was sworn in to the Ford White House, he invited Ayn Rand to be there.
Wow. Well, and I think that's what some people might be a little surprised that did not know in terms of his political bent that he was libertarian.
He was definitely a libertarian. I mean, he, you know, I found all of the writings from when he was in his 30s and 40s, you know, on not having any antitrust, having zero progressive taxation, not even having a central bank. I mean, I was absolutely astonished. I was reading the transcripts of the speeches that he gave when he was with Ayn Rand. And at one point he says, the creation of the Federal Reserve, get this, the creation of the Federal Reserve was a historic disaster.
Exactly.
So the man who came to embody the Federal Reserve thought it should not have been created.
So, yeah, here he is. He's in, now it's his turn. He's in control of it. And what does he do?
So that is a parable about, you know, what happens when a libertarian person who believes basically in small government and maximum freedom, when you're in the government, what do you do? And it turns out it's quite hard to live up to the libertarian principles. And, you know, he had opposed all kinds of financial bailouts when he was younger. But the mature Greenspan rescued the financial system so frequently that, you know, you know, people came to rely on that, and he was sort of known as Uncle Alan in Wall Street because he was always there to look after you if something went wrong.
Well, you know, his insight into the economy and what was going on, I mean, he even said that the Fed still remains a mystery. He's not sure exactly what they do. So even after working there, and when I say that, I mean, that's in very simplistic terms, but you didn't have this sense that he could come out of it and say there was a direct cause and effect of what the Fed did. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does make sense. You're quite right. I mean, you know, you can raise the cost of borrowing money in the short term. That's what the Fed can do. It doesn't necessarily follow that you know what that will do to economic growth or to unemployment or to people's real lives. And so there was this mystery that this mysterious man, Alan Greenspan, was constantly pondering. He was better at it, I think, than almost anybody else. But it was still not an easy, soluble problem, which is what makes it a fascinating subject.
Well, you know, he said something that was quite insightful, and that had to do with the gold standard. He supported the gold standard. He said in the absence of the gold standard, there's no way to protect savings from confiscation through inflation. There's no safe store of value. That was profound insight that to this day, since we moved away from the gold standard, we continue to ignore.
Right, and this is another of the amazing ironies of Alan Greenspan's extraordinary life. I mean, he believed in the gold standard, just like you said, and yet he embodied the opposite, which is fiat currency, the printing of money. What's really amazing is, you know, he had these meetings with Ronald Reagan. There was one in 1986, so that's 1 year before Alan Greenspan became Fed chairman. And in this meeting, 1 year before, Greenspan is sitting with the president and saying, Mr. President, we should maybe have a gold standard. And then a year later, he's doing the opposite because he's running the Fed. So it's a very rich, contradictory, and fascinating life.
Well, like you say, it's one thing to be outside the bus, but when your hands are on the bus, then it's a whole different deal. I think our current president, Barack Obama, has found that out for himself. Well, Alan Greenspan retires in 2006. In 2008, we get the crash, but it really falls on him still, even though he's been out of the Fed for a while.
Well, yes. I mean, he was the most powerful economist in the world, and so he can't escape responsibility for something that went wrong, and the problem was building up on his watch. So, you know, he left in 2006, as you said, and the real estate market basically crashed at the end of 2006, early 2007, and so he's got to take some blame. Now, the interesting thing is, what did he get wrong? And the conventional wisdom is he should have regulated more. I show in my book that he tried to regulate, but regulation, frankly, is a very difficult thing to have work. It's too easy to get around regulation. So I believe he should have used interest rates, be a bit more like a tough gold standard sort of Fed chairman, raise the interest rates to prevent there being enough money to fuel these bubbles in real estate.
Exactly.
And I think that's what he should have done.
Well, 5 years of research and being able to talk to intimates, get into his personal files to the depth, I mean, including his thesis. My goodness, you covered it all, and what an opportunity. The man who knew the life and times of Alan Greenspan, Sebastian Malaby, one final question here as we wrap this up. What's the takeaway? What do you want people to take away from your book?
One thing I want people to take away is that experts who are now under attack in the political system, and we see the rise of political populism, you know, experts, technocrats, economists, people who really know what they're talking about are valuable, and Greenspan was the quintessential expert, and his life shows how an expert can be empowered, can be not just a technocrat, an economist, but actually a politically influential figure. And I think it's through understanding and embracing the Greenspan example that the country can preserve the ability to have brilliant minds.
I'm sorry, we got to leave it there. Sebastian
sure.
Malaby, financial journalist, best-selling author. Thank you so much, Sebastian.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. A new Bank of America USA Today Better Money Habits report finds that young Americans may be missing out on some critical life lessons with respect to their finances. Nearly all said they wish they'd learned more about personal finance in school. 43% wish they'd learned how to invest, and one in four regrets not learning how to manage monthly bills. Andrew Plepler, Environmental, Social, and Governance Executive, Bank of America.
The good news is that young adults are very self-aware. They recognize that they need to learn more about personal finance. That's why we created Better Money Habits through a partnership with Khan Academy, a nonprofit organization that is a leader in making complex subjects more accessible. We're offering free financial resources online, covering everything from understanding your credit score to understanding your paycheck to buying your first home and saving for retirement. Better Money Habits helps build both the knowledge and confidence needed to make smart financial decisions.
For more, visit BetterMoneyHabits.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Hey, millennials, know what you believe and why. Bill Martinez, live.
You can go to BillMartinezLive.com for all the information that you need to know. And if you want to drop me an email, we love hearing from you. Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. Today we're going to be talking with a retired U.S. Army Lieutenant General who is helping raise awareness of recognizing the signs and symptoms of stroke. 1 in 6 people, believe it or not, worldwide will have a stroke in their lifetime. And World Stroke Day is coming up on October the 29th. Just to expand on this a little bit more, every 40 seconds, someone in the U.S. suffers a stroke. When it comes to treating a stroke victim, finding immediate medical attention plays a significant role in reducing the patient's risk of serious long-term disability and even death. Unfortunately, more than 75% of U.S. counties do not have hospitals that can treat stroke patients. However, with the advance of telemedicine, which uses electronic communication methods such as telephone, internet, and video conferencing to exchange medical information from one geographic site to another, telestroke networks can now provide stroke care for underserved regions. Now, telestroke can be used to close the gap in access to expert stroke care, allowing improved access to expert care for patients with an acute stroke and many improve overall stroke management. And we're going to talk more about that in just a moment. The American Heart Association, American Stroke Association, recommends the use of telemedicine to improve stroke care in underserved areas. General, welcome, and Dr. Switzer, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. Good to have you both with us.
Thank you, Greg. Good morning.
Well, General, tell us what happened on that day you suffered your stroke.
Well, it was last year, and I was out putzing around the garage on my cars when I had a pain in the back of my head, and I passed out. My wife came out and found me 5 to 10 minutes later, immediately recognized I'd had a stroke. She calls 911. The EMTs immediately recognized it was a stroke. They call back to the hospital, the local hospital here, Ozark Medical Center, and they conferenced with University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences, the Telestroke Network in Arkansas, R-SAVES it's called, and they directed them to perform the correct medicine there. They put me in an ambulance, rushed me down to Little Rock because it was too stormy to fly, and they performed a completely incredible procedure that fixed me up. The next day I was badgering the doctor to dismiss me from the hospital, and he said, "Well, can you walk?" I got up and did the Ali shuffle for him.
Well, you are a general. Generals can always walk. Nothing stops them, so that's fine.
Yeah.
That's great. So,
I was then just incredibly recovered, and the key to it was recognizing it and the time. I was probably 40 minutes before I was in the hospital.
Wow. Totally. Wow. Well, thank goodness for your wife being so quick to respond here. Now, did you realize there were any symptoms? Or did this just suddenly happen to you when, before the headache? Was there any other indication that something was going wrong here?
Absolutely none. I was in great health. I didn't smoke and worked out all the time. I was a physical fitness nut, and I had determined, the cardiologist post-stroke determined I had atrial fibrillation.
Wow.
It wasn't caused by high blood pressure. It was atrial fibrillation, which I didn't believe I had, but I saw it and it was undeniable. So that was a complete shock to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Switzer, what did General Crocker's wife do right, and what do people often do which doesn't help them out?
Yeah, Bill. So the challenge of stroke is that the damage from a stroke happens so rapidly. So timely recognition and getting a patient to a facility that can provide appropriate treatment is so important in limiting the damage from the stroke. So, in the general's case, it was terrific. His wife was there and rapidly recognized that something was wrong and called 911. For your listeners, there is an acronym called FAST that's useful to remember when you're concerned that someone you're with may be having a stroke. FAST stands for, F is for face, A for arm, S for speech, and T for time. So if you're with someone, you can see if there's some asymmetry of their face. You can ask them to smile. If there's any drooping on one side of the face, that is a sign of a potential sign of a stroke. In terms of arm weakness, you can ask them to lift both of their arms, or if they don't seem to understand, you can lift both arms for them. If one arm appears to be paralyzed or drifts down, that's another potential sign of a stroke. In terms of speech, a simple thing to do is to ask the patient to repeat the phrase, "You can't teach an old dog new tricks."
Mm-hmm.
If their speech sounds slurred or they're unable to repeat, that's another sign suggestive of a stroke. So having any one of those three signs is very sensitive for a stroke. And then the last, the letter is T, which just is to emphasize the time-sensitive nature of this. So the recommendation is to call 911, not to call your doctor, not to get in a car and try to bring them to the hospital, but call 911 and have an ambulance and pre-hospital providers deliver the patient to the closest facility that's capable of providing acute stroke diagnosis and treatment.
Well, I'll tell you, FAST is a great acronym to remember, and that's something that is easy as well, especially when you consider, and most people may not realize, stroke is the leading cause of serious long-term disability and the fifth leading cause of death in the United States. Doctor, what are some major risk factors for stroke?
Sure. So there are a number of risk factors. In terms of medical conditions, the most common, probably the most important, is hypertension. And the challenge with hypertension, although we've come a long, long way in treating hypertension, there are still many patients out there, probably about half of all patients with hypertension, either don't know they have hypertension, know it but are not taking their medications or are being undertreated. And if we could eliminate all hypertension, that would probably have the greatest impact on preventing stroke in the U.S. Mm-hmm. There are other important risk factors as well, such as diabetes, elevated cholesterol, heart disease, and, of course, lifestyle factors like smoking, inactivity, and some dietary factors as well can impact stroke risk.
Well, in the general's case, he said he was pretty active, in fairly good shape. And
That's right. And
for him also, telestroke worked very effectively. Explain to our audience how that works.
Sure. So with telestroke, there is a linkage that's often through the web or internet-based between a remote hospital and a stroke expert that could be located at a great distance from where the patient is. There's often a cart that's positioned at the foot of the bed of the patient, and through that cart, the remote physician has a two-way audio-video connection with the patient so that they can see the patient, they can hear the patient and interact and do a neurologic exam to determine what impairments the patient has that may be related to a stroke. In addition, they can review imaging of the brain that's done locally. In most settings, this is a CAT scan or a CT scan of the head. Mm-hmm. Using primarily these two pieces of information, the examination and the brain imaging, the remote expert, often a neurologist, can make a rapid diagnosis and treatment decision. And then, just like in the general's case, if further treatment may be needed, can facilitate that transfer to the what we call the hub hospital for further care.
Well, we only have about 30 seconds left. General, seems to me that you're doing the Ollie Shuffle. Your recovery was probably, what some would say, a bit miraculous, huh?
Yes, you could. If you were around me, you could never guess that I've had a stroke. I have slight less strength on the right side, but you could never tell it.
Well, Dr. Switzer, real quick, remind everybody where they can go for more information.
Sure, Bill. There's a website, www.strokeawareness.com, that can give more information to your listeners.
Well, General Crocker and Dr. Switzer, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate it. FAST is something that we will remember. That is a great acronym. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
This report is brought to you by Kellogg Company. How do you create 3 billion better days for people around the world? For Kellogg Company, that means fighting hunger and feeding potential each and every day. Chris Charles, Senior Vice President, Kellogg Company.
We share people's passion about where their food comes from, the people who grow and make it, and that there is enough food for everyone. Through our Breakfast for Better Days purpose platform, we're fighting hunger and at the same time partnering with farmers and others who are helping create solutions to these challenges for generations to come. As a global food company, we're committed to doing our part to help feed a growing population with increasingly limited natural resources.
Beyond providing food to food banks and other organizations, Kellogg is also supporting the livelihoods of farmers in communities where their ingredients are grown and helping them to improve their yields through climate-smart agriculture practices and reduce food waste. For more information, visit KelloggCompany.com.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too, because you both need term life insurance. Call now, 800-915-9164, 800-915-9164, 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164, 800-915-9164, 800-915-9164.
Why be held hostage by your wireless carrier for 2 years? What if you had no contract, no activation fees, no hidden costs, tracking, tracing, harvesting customer data, or draconian gimmicks? All on America's largest 4G LTE, GSM, and Sprint networks. Introducing PIX Wireless. Activate your Sprint, AT&T, or unlock GSM phones with PIX and choose from an arsenal of monthly plans or build your own. Starting at only $2.99 per month. Get connected now. Call or click 1-866-205-9513 or PIXWireless.com, spelled PIXWireless.com. Pick PIX and get connected today.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Martinez live.
Okay, you know, we had to come in with a, you know, a special theme song for Bill McIntosh. I mean, because it is time for all of us to put on our tinfoil hats. We're talking about the rumors. You know, this is a rumors segment. All right. Okay. So we're going to break away from the norm here. As you know, for the most part, we try to, you know, keep it down the middle and to give you the facts and that which is true. Well, there's also truth in terms of rumors. This is what people are talking about. It's that 900,000 pound gorilla in the room. And so we bring on Bill so we can just say, okay, hey, here's what's going on. And he's checking out everything and all his connections and networks to come up with the best rumors of the week. Of course, McIntosh, international pundit, editor, 40-plus year businessman in the U.S. and South America. Hey, William, how are we doing, buddy?
Good, Bill. It's great to be on the show again. Hey, listen, lots of interesting things. Some of them are a little bit off the wall, but...
That's what rumors do. I mean, stuff is, it starts off the wall, and then all of a sudden you go, okay, you know, maybe there's some veracity to it, you know?
Yeah. It goes from off the wall to onto the front page, maybe, of the mainstream media, although you never know if that's going to happen and how it's going to be played out. But listen, the thing that I thought was really quite interesting is this Dan A. Williams character, this 30-year-old,
is Bill Clinton's alleged, son.
Yes. And he just wants to shake hands with his father, who he claims is Bill Clinton, and to see Chelsea, his sister.
Right.
And I guess be adopted by Hillary. Although I don't know if, that would work out.
Right.
You know, his aunt, and little Dan A, when he was like about 5 years old, they went to the governor's mansion about five blocks away from their housing project where supposedly, Dan A was conceived, behind some bushes with Bubba, and it just so happens.
It's what you love about this guy, because he wasn't governor then, right? He was he attorney general at the time?
Oh, no, he was governor. Yes.
Oh, this was governor. So he's so high class he can't even pay for a hotel room. We just do it in the bushes, right? Lord
well,
have mercy.
You know something, Bill? He's living, I guess, on the public, the public expense, and he wants to spend his money wisely, I guess,
yeah.
And be thrifty, right? So he is the guy that gave us this huge surplus. It wasn't the peace dividend; it was Bill Clinton and welfare reform, I guess, or that's what the story tells us.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case, so they ran inside. They knocked on the door and they slammed the door in their face and then they got out quick.
Mm-hmm.
But that was about the closest they got. But anyway, he's filing a paternity suit.
Well, maybe this is why Bill Clinton saw himself as the first black president, you know, because he had a black son. Huh? I don't know. I'm not trying to be disrespectful.
Behind the rumor.
Yes, right. Exactly. I mean, this kid's now, he's 30 years old, got a couple kids himself, and throughout his life people say, you know, you almost look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. No, I mean Bill Clinton, actually, right?
Yeah, sure, exactly. Yeah, no, it looks like Bill, and that's the same smile and that same debonair look. And the thing is that, you know, he files his lawsuit, and Roger Stone, who is interested quite a bit in different types of conspiracy theories himself, checked out the alleged paternity suit that the Star magazine supposedly performed, and
wasn't a DNA deal they did?
Supposedly DNA tests were performed, but as it turns out, Roger Stone says that they disclosed that there never was a DNA test at all, and this is after the Star was sold to someone else. The original owner was a Clinton supporter. But in any case, it gets more interesting and more interesting. This is kind of a funny character. This Danny Williams, he's allegedly, rumor has it, is involved with Black Lives Matter. He's somebody who stole a Cadillac at one point. He violated his terms of probation. He wrote many bad checks. And he's gotten in trouble with the law. Had five children by the time he was 21. This is one very active fellow. You know, the only thing I can say in closing is that, you know, how Hillary Clinton sometimes breaks into a Southern accent. Well, imagine if they adopt Danny and recognize him as their own, and then he breaks into a black accent. How about that?
Right.
Huh?
Well, then it'd be fitting, I guess. But wow,
politically expedient.
What a tragedy here! That and supposedly didn't he Bill Clinton, you know, according to Danny, paid his mom $700? He would send her $700 and
Right,
once a year or something like that. Was it a monthly deal or once a year?
It was a monthly deal, Bill. It was seven crisp $100 bills that Arkansas state troopers would come by and discreetly give to Danny's mother, Bobby Williams,
mm-hmm.
who was a prostitute. And at Christmas time, there would be gifts. I mean, how can you not say, wow, this is kind of shocking. There's some story here.
Right.
So, but when he arrived at the White House, that was it. It was over.
Right.
And so Danny Williams just wants to meet his dad, as his story goes. And now, speaking Arkansas, that brings us to the Bill and Hill Clinton romance with the Bush family. And as you know, Bill, you saw that President George Herbert Walker Bush endorsed Hillary Clinton, said he's going to vote for her. And then you had, I noticed that when the Billy Bush case hit the news just before the second debate.
He's related. I mean, he's a cousin, right?
And that's for George. He's Jeb Bush.
And how does he get under the bus? He's on the bus, now he's under the bus.
Right, now he's...
Poor Billy Bush.
Let me clarify. He's Jeb Bush's and George W. Bush's cousin.
Cousin, right.
So, and at the same time, I couldn't help but notice that right when this came out, Jeb Bush comes out copying Hillary Clinton on a tweet saying, this is just despicable. You know, the story about Donald Trump and his you know, his dirty talk and what he likes to do with what he does to take advantage of his star quality with women. So it's interesting. So what's the connection here? Well, there's a place in Arkansas that you've probably heard of before called MENA. MENA, and MENA has an airport that was used apparently for Colombian drug smuggling. And at the same time, it was also implicated by way of one Bobby Seal, who was a drug smuggler, former TWA pilot, and became a member of apparently a pilot for the Colombian drug cartel. But at some point, he was he was oppressed and cornered apparently by the DEA, and he was made into a double agent. Basically, going on the one hand, claiming that he was, you know, I guess a loyal pilot for Pablo Escobar, but he was actually serving other interests, among which was to help obtain photographs of Nicaraguan government officials, including supposedly a minister, loading drug money and or offloading drugs.
So how are the Bushes involved in this?
Well, the connection is Iran-Contra. Remember that in Nicaragua we had this whole Contra-gate, Iran-gate, involved with basically getting money to the Contras, selling drugs and everything like that. And so the interesting thing is, of course, this happened during the presidency of Ronald Reagan and George Herbert Walker Bush.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting how they've been chummy, getting together in the years prior to the 2016 election cycle. And maybe this is the story, or this is the rumor behind the facts, that they seem just so friendly and just so comfortable in each other's company. Could it be that maybe they have some dirty secrets to share? And Bill Clinton, of course, was allegedly involved with, drug profits from these Colombian Medellin cartel flights into his state when he was governor. So it does make it very interesting concerning the whole topic of the Clinton-Bush friendship. So anyway, so now, speaking of Colombia, did I tell you about this little town in Cundinamarca, which is near Bogota, the capital, called San Bernardo, where, of all things, speaking Colombian, where they have a tourist attraction, which is, are you ready for this, Bill? They supposedly, the locals discovered that there are mummies living in their cemetery, so because they have a custom where they don't bury underground, they bury in a like a mausoleum, and after a couple of years, they move out the bodies and the bones to make room for a new body. Well, that's when they
I think that's what they have in, don't they have that in Pittsburgh, and they come out and vote about every 4 years? And we know that, I think supposedly mummies vote Democrat, too, by the way, I think is the other thing.
Well. Yeah, they seem to go for the donkey party. But the thing about it is in Colombia is that they were discovered, and some guy got the great idea of, you know, they're in really pretty good shape, and he makes them, made a museum out of them. He stands them up, and they're dressed in their burial clothes, and people go flock by the hundreds and thousands to see these guys and gals. And, you know, they think that the reason for this is not the water where so much as it is with the special food they eat. There's something called guatila and balú, which is a kind of a fruit or vegetable, and it's green. It's got little like rose thorns on it, they boil it and they make soups out of it and other dishes. They peel it and they boil it and they eat it. And then balú is like a giant green bean pod, and so they use the beans inside to cook it up and mash it and make it into cakes and all that stuff. And so supposedly this explains the fact that about half the bodies in the little town of San Bernardo, Colombia, mummies and don't decompose. How about that? I mean, have you been to Colombia, Bill?
No, I've not. And the last time I had a dear friend go to Colombia, he never came back out. Sadly.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, right, exactly. So like I don't know. Maybe he had a bean pot or something. I don't know what's going on there. But
it's shocking. But these things actually, some things are not rumor, but they're really truth. But the rumor, of course, is what causes this strange phenomenon. So there you go.
Well, there it is. Well, you know, if they can vote, they might bring them here to this country. After all, we're opening up the borders because it's a party here in the United States. It's Bill McIntosh. Rumor has it. This is Bill Martinez, 2 minutes before the top of the hour.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Investment Rarities, a 43-year-old company, has created the best silver offer ever. Get a U.S. Silver Eagle, Canadian Maple Leaf, Austrian Philharmonic, OPM Pierre Bar, and Silver Round. Have all five for $99 postpaid. You heard me right, 5 ounces of silver below cost. No credit card fees, free shipping. Just $99 and you'll have a great start on what it takes to survive even the worst economic storm. Act now and receive Jim Cook's exclusive paper explaining how it's possible to make a fortune in silver today. Don't miss this opportunity. Call 800-328-1860. Read how the above-ground supply of silver has dropped below even gold. The secret is being suppressed. The price could explode at any time. Call today at 800-328-1860. Get 5 ounces of silver for only $99. Find them on the web at investmentrarities.com or call 800-328-1860. Call now before it's too late. 800-328-1860. Ever